When you go to the movies, do you shell out the $6 or $7 or $8 for popcorn? One man says you shouldn't have to.
The price of movie theater popcorn may be outrageously high, along with everything else at the concession stand. So high that a Michigan man is filing a class action lawsuit to end what he says is price gouging. Joshua Thompson heading to court because the local movie house in Livonia told him he can't bring his own soda and candy into the local AMC.
Duh.
If he wins, you can bet on copycat lawsuits, but there's a wrinkle. Theater chains are likely to argue that high prices are in your best interest, because it's the high price of popcorn and candy that keeps the price of a movie ticket low. Bill Fitka, Fox News Radio.
The price of oil is down about a buck a barrel this morning. Gas also slightly lower. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Go ahead. When you come to the ribeye, bring your own grill. And then you can grill your own steaks because you don't want to pay anything. You know what? Movie popcorn
got
costs...
Got my George Foreman in my purse right over here.
Movie popcorn costs $11 because you'll pay it.
I know.
And you get the refill, so you cost average out. You get five of those buckets.
And take some home.
Absolutely. You buy the big bucket. Or you know what you could do instead of a lawsuit? Don't buy it!
Exactly.
8:05. Good morning. Time for your check of Connect FM.
3-day forecast.
From the National Weather Service. Diane, what do you got?
High 63 today. It's beautiful. Down to 46 this evening. Windy conditions, too. Partly cloudy and a high 62 tomorrow. Down to 50. 51 the high on Thursday with rainy conditions. Down to 35. Winds from the south 16 to 22 right now. And the temperature's at 38 on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM.
On WSJK Tuscola, WJEK Rantoark, it's sit by Greg Johnson, the principal of Centennial High School. He'll buy all my popcorn.
There you
you'll buy all my popcorn, won't you there, Mr. Principal?
I'll be happy to. Let's go out.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. $15. You take the kids to this stuff. You spend $45.
Exactly.
You're just like, whoa. And then again, what you do is you say, well, let's see, that butter is about, 1,000 calories. I just won't get it this time, but it is good. Okay, Greg Johnson, principal, Centennial High School. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on
the show.
It's
great to have you on. I appreciate your time. There's something that's resonating within Unit 4,
right.
Champaign Schools. It's called standard-based grading. This is a change from the A, B, C, D, F stuff we're used to. Explain standard-based grading. What is it?
Okay, good. Well, first, I'll tell you, I want to correct you a little bit. It's not a change, really, from the A, B, C, D stuff that we're used to. As far as report cards go, as far as what comes out in terms of what has always gone out, we are still going to see A, B, C, D, F on report cards, on transcripts. Stuff that goes out to colleges is still going to have the exact same information on it that it used to have. And so in that sense, it primarily is a process that teachers are using with their students to keep better tabs on what their students know and understand as a result of their work in the class.
How did all this evolve? Where does it come from? Why has Champaign decided to do this?
Yeah, that's a great question. It comes from a variety of places. For about a decade now, some of the research in education has really focused on grading practices, and it kind of goes back to two basic ideas. Number one, we have to be really, really clear to our students about what they need to learn in our classes. And we need to make sure that, and part of being clear to our students is not only communicating that during instruction, but reporting that back out to students in terms of our assessment information. And secondly, it also comes from a body of research out there that tells us that we need to do a really good job of gathering good information from our kids about what they're doing and then changing our instructional practices, right? Changing our teaching to help make our students as successful as possible.
All right, and you had a meeting February 21st, I think.
Right,
You addressed some of the parents. I think you have another one coming up in March, I think. Or is it coming up this month? Are you doing it?
Yes, we have parent-teacher conferences coming up next week, the 15th and 16th.
Would that be appropriate for parents to address it there, or would you want to do another public forum kind of a thing where you have an open kind of a floor thing?
Yeah, well, actually, on the 15th and 16th, I sent out a little flyer that went home to all the parents in the school that if they wanted to come in for sessions during that time to meet and talk with me about standards-based grading,
okay. They
can do so there. And we may very well have future sessions coming up where parents can come in the evening and we can talk more about it.
Right. All right. February 21st, I think you said that the whole standards-based grading is about mastering the material.
Yeah.
That we need to separate practice from performance. How does that actually work if you have math, foreign language? I mean, that's a sequential learning thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it works. It works just as well in discipline areas that are sequential, linear. You know, like a foreign language or a math class,
yeah.
As well as in an English class, right? Which is a little bit more circular. So, and basically, how it works is, no matter what we're teaching, whether it's linear or any other type, We need to give our students chances to practice what we're learning, right? Whether we're writing a paper, working on a complex physics equation, whether we're working on how to conjugate specific verbs in a foreign language, we need to make sure that we give our students practice. And the reason we give them that practice is that when we assess it, we can make sure that they understand and have learned it well.
All right, is that a subjective call on that, Greg, or how do you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a lot of questions about this more subjective than it's been in the past? And by design, it's supposed to be more objective than the current practice. And here's what I mean by that. Standards-based grading asks us to make sure, or as best we can, that our grades that we give out to kids are really a measure of what the kids know. So if I have a B in this class, it means that I've done a pretty good job of mastering the material in that class. But traditionally, you think about your high school experiences, or certainly my high school experiences, and probably most of the listening audience here. When we were in high school, we were able to do a lot of different things to affect our grades. A lot of different extra credit affected our grades. Simply getting our homework in on a regular basis was definitely bringing our grades up. All those things are really good things. But when we average all that information out into a grade, it kind of muddies what that grade really means. Standards-based grading tries to make it more clear.
I understand, but I think working it like that is part of life skills, wouldn't they be considered? That you got to figure out how to get along. Maybe good attitude does matter.
Oh, yes.
If I got a bad attitude because I'm smarter than you, that stinks too. I mean, that should be part of a factor of saying, this guy's a jerk, he knows the material, but he's a jerk.
Yeah, Yeah, you know, we really do have to make sure that we are focusing on those things as well. And that's the other thing that we have to do a better job of communicating here in this school. We need to make sure that we understand the standards-based grading is not a devaluing of the behaviors, the learning behaviors, right, that we really want to instill in our kids. But it's an attempt to put the learning behaviors as a means to the end, not necessarily as the end to itself. The reason we want our kids to exhibit these behaviors is because they help our kids to become successful in everything else they want to do after life.
Yeah, but I'm not sure, again, what motivates them to do that. In other words, a bad attitude kid that doesn't have to do the homework because he's too smart. We all know people like that in life. Yeah. That they're just a little too smart for you, right? I mean, so they don't need to deal with you because you're too smart. So those kids, you still, it's hard to say, I'm going to control your attitude. If they know the material, they know the material.
Yeah, that's true. And in some ways, this puts as much pressure on teachers as it does on students, right? So if we have a student who we see in a Spanish class or a math class who has already mastered the material, and let's kind of take the bad attitude equation out of this for a second and say the kid's in the class and says, you know, I really get this. Well, then standards-based grading is going to help us to a little bit more quickly identify, this kid really has this down.
Yeah.
And as a result, let's get this kid into a harder class, a higher level class. And so we'll be able to make those changes with a little bit more specificity right now.
Well, because again, if you take 30 kids, and by the way, the classes are too darn big, nothing you guys can do about it, but that's just the way life is. But I mean, will the teacher really be able to know who's at what level and be able to have that much time? I know how pressed teachers are for time.
Yeah, fortunately, we have information that's coming from a variety of sources. We are getting better and better information every year from our middle schools about where our students are performing when they come. You know, we have ISAT data, we have some practice tests, the Explore, which is a lot like the ACT, is going to be given to some 8th grade students, to all of our 8th grade students this year. And so that information is going to come to us before the school year even starts. Once the school year starts, we have a quick screener called the MAP test, which is going to give us really good information about our kids. And once the kids are in our classes then, within the first few weeks, we should quickly have information about generally what their level is to make that process as efficient as possible.
Greg Johnson, Principal, Centennial High School. If you have any questions, 359-2255, 359-CALL, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM at 813. I'm Stevie J with Greg Johnson, the Principal of Centennial High School, about standard-based grading. All right, let me ask you another toughie here, Greg.
Sure.
You've got a kid that does everything. They go to class. They do the homework. They really are listening. They're really, really working at it.
Yeah.
And they don't test well.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, you have a kid that goes into class, doesn't really care, cheats, because I don't know how you're going to know cheating unless you really converse with the student. I mean, this could be a pathway to cheat. So how do you deal with each issue? A kid that doesn't test well and is really nervous at testing, and I know they got to get better, but they're not very good at it, and they kind of get it, but you don't know unless you talk to them, versus a kid that comes in, and maybe you have a cheating scam going on. How do you deal with those kinds of extremes?
Okay, good. Let's take a look at the first kid first, okay? We have a student who really is working his tail off in class, doing their work on a daily basis, but when it comes time to actually do the assessment, the kid is really struggling. But all the homework that the kid is doing is showing that the kid is consistently giving kind of those behaviors that we looked at before.
Yeah.
In some ways, what standard-based grading does is it makes it so that the grade that's going to come out for that kid really is now a better reflection on what that kid really does know.
Mm-hmm.
And so before, when a parent would come in and would say, hey, you know, my kid is getting a B in your class, I what can I do to make my student do better? We would take a look at the grade book and we would say, well, let's take a look at all the test averages or let's take a look at all the quiz averages. And that might give us some information. But standards-based grading, because the grade books are arranged by learning goals that we want kids to have, you know, like I can use the quadratic equation to solve equations effectively in class.
Right.
So if that's one of the goals, you can sit there and say, okay, well, let's take a look. Your kid actually has tested well in these specific areas, but has really struggled with these two specific targets, right, these two specific skills. And so then we can really zero in on those things and help kids to be more successful in that area. So for kids who traditionally we would simply say are poor test takers, we now can say a little bit better, it's this specific area that we need to focus on.
Okay. All right, what about the cheater? Do you have a plan? I mean, has standard-based grading addressed the perpetual cheater?
Yeah.
They're somehow able to put right answers down, but don't know. They don't do homework, so you're not checking on that. So how do you really know that you don't have some ring? Because you know that the cheating is prevalent these days.
Yeah, that's true. And I will tell you, actually, the majority of the cheating that does go on, right, is the stuff that leaves the classroom. The stuff in the classroom is certainly a lot easier to monitor, right, than the stuff that students take home. Now, this isn't – I want to clarify one thing. Certainly, there are take-home assignments that should and do count. Let's think about things like lab write-ups in a science class or papers in an English class or, you know, significant assessments like that. But if it falls into the category of practice, whether it's outside the school or inside the school, those are the types of things that we're saying, we don't know if those should be really good measures of what a student really does because the kid hasn't really gone through all the instruction for it. They're just simply practicing. And sometimes we give students stuff to practice that is above their level on purpose. Averaging that into grade doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, as far as the cheating goes, the stuff that the kids take out of the school, the quick little homework assignments, those are often the stuff that students cheat on. And, we're happy to say to our students, listen, you know, if you're going to go ahead and cheat on that, that's fine. Well, it's not really fine, but the information that's going to come back to us is going to be seen through how you are doing on our quizzes, how you are doing on our tests, and the other assessments that we have in our classrooms.
Yeah. All right, as you prepare these kids, and an awful lot of them are going on, some don't, but a lot of them go to some form of higher education. Now, I think they're all still requiring homework and giving credit and grading for homework.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be good, I guess, if everybody's on the same deal.
Yeah, that's a good point. And as far as what goes on in colleges, they do have different ways to – a lot of different classes have different ways to approach the assignments. There is certainly no doubt that in my college experience, and the information that we are getting back, is that college has fewer, smaller assignments, and it has many – it puts more weight on the larger, significant assignments, on tests and quizzes and papers and those types of things. So in some ways, right, college is already aligned this way. So I think that's the best response to that.
Yeah. All right. So you believe this is just better. This is a better way to educate kids.
Absolutely, I do. I think it makes what we want from them, true learning, clearer in terms of what grades are.
All right. So if you have an 8-question deal and you miss one, it's a B. But you're saying that you can go in, hone in on it, and take it again?
A big part of standards-based grading and good practice anyway. It doesn't necessarily have to be part of standards-based grading, but good parts, part of good teaching is making sure that we give our students multiple opportunities to show what they know and can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't necessarily have to mean that, hey, I gave you this quiz and you blew it. You know, you didn't do really well. I'm going to give it to you again and again and again and again and again.
No,
you have to earn your right to be able to reassess.
And you think that this is better on the teacher's time versus all the homework?
I do. I think once teachers get used to the practice, you know, like all things like this that are new, and this is certainly new, you know, this is a change in our practice, there are going to be bumps in the road, and those bumps in the road are going to be frustrating for teachers, students, parents, everybody, but once we get through some of those bumps, I think we'll find that our efforts are going to be more efficient.
Hmm. It's going to take a while to get people on a page. I mean, I think there were 30 parents at the first meeting.
There were. Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult to... to tell people when school's called off, let alone trying to let them know that there's standard-based grading. They might be saying, say what, in 5 years, Greg? This is going to take a while to kind of permeate the system.
Yeah, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. Fortunately, we have some good models to turn to who have done things like this. We visited in the past a number of schools in the state who have done these types of things. We've looked at some of their policies and what they've done online. We visited a school out of state earlier this year to take a look at how those practices look. And you're right. One of the key pieces of information coming back to us is that communication with parents and teachers is so incredibly significant.
I think Centennial had three perfect scores on the ACT last year. Do you expect in time that you'll have more than that from the standpoint of grade point average, smarter kids coming out? You really believe that in 5-10 years you're going to look back and say, boy, this was a good call?
I absolutely do. Now, whether I'm not going to guarantee that we're going to have a certain number of perfect scores on the ACT, but I will tell you that we increase our likelihood of increasing our scores on the ACT with this practice in place.
Interesting. So you're happy your kids are going to be part of this?
There is no doubt. Yeah, my kids are in Centennial Zone. That's right.
Well, listen, you're a reasonable guy. I think you're a rock star when it comes to education in this town, a Unit 4 rock star. So I'm listening, and certainly change is challenging for all of us when it comes to something different and the kids wiggling a little bit about stuff. You want to know kind of how it works. And certainly, if it's going to help them understand and do better in school and move on through college, then I guess we got to be open-minded to it, I think.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that very much. And, you know, there's no doubt it's going to take time, and I certainly understand that there has been some frustration with this new process. But as time goes on, I think we'll see that this is successful.
You kind of look like a rock star, too, Greg.
Thank you so much.
Hey, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for spending some information time. And let me know when you guys have another parent thing, and I'll be able to broadcast that.
All right, very good. That sounds good.
Good talking to you, buddy.
You take care.
Principal at Centennial High School, Greg Johnson, standard-based grading. So what do you think? Does that sound like something you want your kids in, Diane? Is that something you want the year changing?
I'm reading more about it, and it seems like it's more proficiency measured, and they'll really get the concepts. I think it could be a good thing.
Okay, all right. So, but you got to understand it now.
Yeah, before you move on.
So, in other words, if you really grasp this thing, then you can move at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want their child, who's smarter than anybody else anyway,
right,
to move higher in another area? And I know that there's one or two kids at Centennial that are off to the U of I right now because they don't have anything for them.
That's right.
Not very many kids, but a few. So if you know Spanish and you're just fantastic at Spanish, why would you do the Spanish homework?
That's right.
They put you up to Spanish 4. They move you up to something that will challenge you, so they're able to do that with this system. So I'm trying to think of objections. 359-2255. It's called standard-based grading. Am I missing anything?